in the Roman army, which was called the Italian Regiment. So he's a soldier, but he's a believer. Those things were kind of rarities. But the Bible does talk in the New Testament about three times centurions were pivotal in the kingdom of God. He was a devout man. I love the Passion Bible. It says he was a man who worshiped God. He was a worshipful man, and his house was a worshipful place. One who feared God, when the word fear there, you might put in reverentially worshiped God, which is a good, also synonymous expression of that. He reverentially worshiped God with all of his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So three things are mentioned there that we're going to come back to. He's a man of worship. He's a man of generosity. He's a man of prayer. His house then reflects those same behaviors. About the ninth hour of the day, it'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. So you've got God's attention when you worship and you give. Thank you, six of you. My task will be to win the rest of you in the next 30 minutes. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Then the angel who spoke with him departed. A couple of important things all through Christian history. Angels have been a part of God's activity, God's agenda, and God's purpose in the earth. Protecting, directing, guiding, all kinds of things. What they don't do is preach. What they don't do is give doctrine. Anyone who claims to have a doctrine by an angel, don't listen to. Okay? Our doctrine comes from the Bible. That's the book for me. Okay? So angels weren't allowed to give the message, but they were allowed to connect people to people who could give the message. Then Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him. Continues. So he picked his most loyal and most spiritual soldier and then some servants similarly. And he explained to them all the things that had happened. Then he sent them to Joppa. So he said, I just had a God encounter. And these guys go, what just happened, you know? So because they trust him, even though they didn't have the same encounter, they acted in obedience anyways because he was a trustworthy man, a loyal man, and he was representing this visitation to them. The next day, as they went on their journey, they drew near the city. As they drew near the city, Peter went on top of the housetop. So he's at Simon the tanner's house in Joppa. He's up there praying about 6 hours. It's noontime. Okay, it's lunch. He became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while downstairs they were making the food ready, he fell into a trance. So he had a spiritual vision. He didn't flop on the floor like a fish on a boat. He didn't foam at the mouth. He didn't act goofy. He was sitting there and he had a mental vision, and it was just like he was seeing it, okay? So God doesn't make people behave undignified or grotesquely, is a better way. So he's having a powerful mental vision. So he's seeing something spiritually. He's seeing another world. He's seeing God talk to him from that world. He saw in the vision, what did he see? He saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound by four corners descending to him, let down the earth. So he sees this thing come down like a sheet, but it has something in it. In this sheet were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of air. So he sees things that are animals, a specific kind of animal, and the voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. So he sees a little piggy, he sees a little lobster, things that were non-kosher, forbidden by Mosaic law from the Hebrew diet, okay? So he sees them, and then God says, kill and eat. I'm so glad God's a meat eater. Don't mean to offend you vegetarians. Shundai. Okay, anyways, just throwing that in there for free. And so the voice says to him a second time, what God's cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times. Everybody say it three times. So anything that God does two or three times, he doesn't do it just out of repetition. He does it out of confirmation. Anything that's important enough for you to know, God will tell it to you more than once. Okay? So it's a law of confirmation. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall any word be established. That's an important spiritual point. But part of it was God was kind of bulldozing new theology into Peter's mind, okay? And it was hitting him hard with this three times. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius' house had made their way to Simon's house and stood at the gate. They called and asked whether Simon Peter was there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, the Holy Spirit, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went downstairs to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius' house. Yes, I am he whom you seek. What is the reason you've come? They said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who reverently fears God and worships God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house to hear words from you. Then he instructed them in and lodged them. So they spent the night there. The next day, when Peter went away with them, some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So some other Messianic Jews, some other of the church, the way, went with Peter. The following day, they came to Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his family and his friends. While Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter said, you're trying to get me killed, man? Stand up. I myself am also a man. And he talked with him. He went and found many who had come together. Then Peter said this, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to even keep company with or go into the home of another nation of a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Just like that, God broke prejudice. Come on, CFTN is conquering. We have 100 nationalities in this service today. We're conquering racism by that same principle. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting and praying, and the angel came to me, he said, send for you. And so Simon says, that Peter said in verse 34, here's his sermon now. I perceive in truth, he's now getting the point what God's saying, that God shows no prejudice, no racism, no partiality, no favoritism, no bias. Can I have an amen from this Catholic congregation? One for you, sweetheart, my little Catholic girl. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And so he's going on to preach one of my favorite verses of verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Woo. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he's starting with point A. So he presupposes they don't know hardly anything. So he's talking to them about who Jesus is. He's building the building blocks. Here's who Jesus is. He's the Messiah. He came to the Jews. Now he's died for all of your sins. He's building a historical background for them. But something remarkable happens. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, the Jewish people, who believed were astonished. As many as it came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out in the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. God says to Peter, you're taking too much time. Before he got to the Holy Spirit part, they all started praying in tongues. That's how I received the Holy Spirit at 12 years old. The youth pastor, Ken Gullickson, in Big Bear, California, said, today we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, turn in your Bibles, turn your blah, 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 turn there. About 30 seconds later, something hit me. I'd never heard Holy Spirit. I never heard spoken in tongues. I raised my hands without ever hearing it and started speaking in tongues, just like that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's real, man. The Holy Spirit's real. So we're going to talk about three things. So beginning in this story, let's talk about the first thing, the three keys to breakthrough in this man's life began with the first verse, that this man, Cornelius, was a man of worship, a man of generosity, a man of prayer. So he was a person of worship. Worship changes the atmosphere. Worship changes the outcome. Worship changes us. Worship changes every time. Every time you worship, you change the world. Come on, we're worshiping in here, but four blocks away, 5 miles away, someone bound by drugs, someone contemplating suicide, someone oppressed. So all of a sudden, freedom is washed through their mind. Because you worshiped, the rippling consequences went all over the city. You changed the world when you worship. You change your story when you worship. You change your future when you worship. He's worshiping God the best of his knowledge, the best that he knows about God. He's worshiping God. And God has surprises for him. The second thing was, he was a person of generosity. So he gave alms, gave gifts to the poor. He was liberal in his giving. You with me? He was generous in his graciousness. So as God has blessed him, he was a giver. There's power in giving. You can advance and accelerate. You can participate in a grace that others are striving to get by sowing into it. Paul said to the church of Philippi, you partnered with me. There's something on you because you partnered with me. That's really true. If you want something someone has, give into it. It's a secret. It's a secret, okay? The second part of it is in 2 Samuel. It's in your notes. David is in trouble. He had a census. God gets mad. There's a plague upon Israel. And David wants to stop, but he sees the angel holding a sword. And so he goes up that mountain, and he's going to sacrifice to God on that same place where there's judgment. And so he goes to the field, and it's owned by a guy named Aruna. And he says, I want to buy your field. And the guy says, oh, king, you can have my field for nothing. And David said, no, I have to pay for it, because if it costs me nothing, it means nothing to God. He said, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. There's power in sacrifice. You with me? Thank you. The third thing is, he was a man of prayer. Constant, continuing, steadfast, regular prayer. So those three things together, the Bible says, and by the way, in James chapter 5, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Elijah was a dude just like we are, same kind of passions. He prayed that it would not rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed that it would rain, and the heavens burst open, and it rained. Did you know last week, by the way, our drought, whatever it was a 20-year drought was broken. One rain, one snowstorm, Arizona drought over. God snaps his hands, and your drought is over. God snaps his hands, and your world changes. Suddenly it's come. So, it's interesting, California has refused to build reservoirs, new lakes, or new containers like we have strategically in Arizona. So they got the same rain, snow, but they're not, it's all just draining off to the ocean because they refuse to prepare for their future. So when they have water shortages in the future, it's because of a lack of good government, a lack of planning in their government, not because of God withholding the rain. Interesting. God sends the rain. The people that are prepared get it. The people that aren't, it just runs through their life. Interesting stuff, okay? It wasn't political, that was spiritual. Not picking on California, although they deserve to be picked on. So what happens next is kind of maybe the crux of what I want to get to. In our story, in our journey as believers, God knows how to get us from point A to B, and it is often through another person. So let me read to you what I put in my social media yesterday. God is waking up kings on your behalf. People of influence who have been assigned to release breakthrough, blessing, and promotion into your life. Heaven has scheduled divine appointments to fulfill the desires of your heart this year. They're waking up. The Bible says this in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man, good woman are ordered, ordained, established, prepared by God. Though he fall, yet that doesn't disqualify him. Though he fall, he won't be utterly cast down. The Lord will withhold him. God doesn't give up on you, even though you don't do things perfectly. God's the God. I wrote a book called God of the Comeback. That's my story. It's all of our story. It's called grace. Amen. He's the God of not just second chances, 2,000 chances, whatever it is. Okay, so that's who God is. So in Esther chapter 6, I want you to look at this scripture. So Esther is a phenomenal book, and there's all kinds of truth in it. But chapter 6, here's what happens. That night, verse 1, the king could not sleep. Ahasuerus is, he has insomnia. He can't sleep, okay? Why? He got divine insomnia because God's awakening a king. So one was commanded to read the book of the Chronicles to him. So all the things that happened across this massive Babylonian kingdom, you know, taxes were collected there, ships came in there, the army did this. And it was found out in this book of writing that Mordecai had told Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So Mordecai stopped an assassination plot by Bigthan and Teresh. Their name means, one means severe anger, one means hatred. This, how unhealthy emotions assassinate your purpose. So anyways, Mordecai stops it, and somehow the king never found out about it. So here's the cool thing about God. God never forgets what you do. And so often in the kingdom of God, there's a delay in the season of harvest or reward. You do something now, God's going to significantly respond to you, but not always immediately. So here's the king. He's startled that he missed this point. He goes, man, whoa. He said, everybody up. He stirs the whole palace. And he said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai? And they said, nothing. You didn't notice it. We just let it slide. He said, who's in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court to ask for permission to hang Mordecai on the gallows he had prepared for him. And they said, well, Haman's here. And the king said, let him come in. Haman came in. The king asked, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? And Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? And Haman said, the man the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought in which the king is worn, a horse in which the king is ridden, and a royal crest placed on its head. And let this robe and horse be delivered into the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the whole city square, proclaiming, thus shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said, hurry and do this. Take the robe and the horse, just like you suggested, and do for Mordecai the Jew who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone until all that you've spoken is finished. God is so powerful, he can make your enemy bless you. You with me? Wow. So God said, this night is the night. Sent an angel over there to tickle Ahasuerus. Don't let him sleep. So he's agitated. I can't sleep. And God says, okay, now is the night. So promotion came to him. God's waking up a king. God's in your world. Come on. This is a prophetic word. God's waking up people that are assigned to release God's purpose, to bring promotion, blessing, and breakthrough into your world. You're just one divine connection away from a new season of life. Y'all with me? God knows how to do it. God knows how to do it. Let me just, this little skit. Pastor Kwame, help me for a second. Would you just go stand that corner over there? I want you to, Pastor Kwame is going to be Cornelius. And then let me find someone else. My friend, did you help me? My dear friend, Eddie, would you go to that corner over there someplace? Pastor Eddie. And so Pastor Eddie is going to be Simon Peter. Use your imagination. No. Yeah. So there's Peter in one city. Peter's in Joppa. And there's Cornelius way across the world in Caesarea. And they need to connect. And God knows how to make the right people connect. Just keep worshiping God. Keep being generously obedient and generous. Keep praying, and God's going to order your steps. And before you know it, you're going to intersect the person God's sending. And so I want Simon Peter, would you come this way? And come this way. Cornelius. Cornelius is praying, worshiping, and giving. Praying, worshiping, and giving. Simon Peter is having lunch. Has a trance. And they're just doing their life. But God says, I'm going to connect them. I'm going to connect them. I'm going to connect them. So here comes Cornelius. Here comes Simon Peter. They meet and history is made. And the Gentiles are engrafted into the church. Now listen. In the whole earth, it was the time for Gentiles to be engrafted into the kingdom. And God was looking for someone to begin the greatest move of salvation in history. And God looks to the earth, and let's pick that guy. He worships, he prays, and he gives. God's looking for people to pick for what he's about to do. And houses and people that are worshiping, praying, and giving are going to get in on what God's about to do next in this move of God. Amen? You guys shake hands? God knows how to connect you to your Simon Peter. God knows how to order your steps. Let me tell you a couple of stories. I was in Bible school, 18 years old, and I decided to go to Life Bible College, the Foursquare Seminary. Our family was friends with Jack Hayford. My father and mother were, and so I went there. He was the dean of the school that year. And when I went to school, I stopped dating. I said, I'm not going to date. God told me just to trust him. He said this to me, Michael, how many women are on the earth back then, 2.5 billion? He said, how long do you think it would take you to find the right one? Well, I said, before social media, but it took forever. And he said, just trust me. So I went to school. I wrote a song about life at life where everyone's looking for a wife except me. So all my friends are dating, and which is fine. I'm not belittling, but I'm not dating. So I come home after my first year, my freshman year, and at the church, my parents, Richard and Carol Maiden, had a church called New Life Chapel. Because we had the Jesus People movement began in the mid-60s, kind of simultaneous to the charismatic renewal, and tens of thousands, several million young people got saved. It is a genuine revival, beginning in California, sweeping across the country. So my parents had a Jesus People church. We had 400 or 500 hippies in our church. So the reason why I have a degree in psychology, 2 degrees in psychology, because I grew up in a hippie church. Just kidding, kinda. And so I said to God, God, please don't make me marry a hippie. And listen, I wasn't mean prejudice. I just grew up with them. And let's just say there was interesting things happening in their world. So a little sweet Catholic girl going to college gets saved and spirit-filled. We had a little bookstore. She comes to the church, and she's like the only one that knows shorthand and can type and that actually has functional skills. So she becomes the church secretary, and she's not a hippie, she's a Catholic. I don't know, that just sounds funny. I'm not a hippie, I'm a Catholic. And so I come home from school, and I walk in the door, and the Lord says, that's your wife. And so I hadn't dated, you know, for a year, whatever it was, and so the Lord said, that's your wife. And so it took her a while to get the message. So I write a note because we had the same initials, MCM, Mary Catherine, Morava, Michael Charles May. Hi, MCM. How you doing today? MCM. You know, silly stuff. I'd be working, mowing the lawn at the campus, staring at her through the window. Eventually, I asked her for lunch one day to Macayo's, and she went. And I bent her ear talking about marriage for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Got in trouble for being late with my dad. Where you been? I said, I'm in love. Do not bother me. I found the one. And so lots of women in California, God knows how to bring the right person into your life. If you keep worshiping God in this season, if you keep praying, if you keep being obedient, you're qualifying for divine appointments. Okay? So it was 10 years ago. About a month from now, maybe in May, Steve Clifford, sitting in the front row, called me, hey, I heard something about Valley Cathedral, and they might be going through a tough time. And I said, oh, then I need to reach out to the pastor. Steve, can you set up a lunch? And so I set up a lunch with Charles Combs, the pastor of the church, Valley Cathedral. And I set it up just to bless him. Because, this, you know, sometimes my dislocation is tough. And this week alone, I've counseled like four pastors around the country, just encouraging them, blessing them, speaking to their lives, okay? So that's my whole goal, objective. Okay, let's encourage this guy. So we're at Claim Jumper, and I'm talking with Charles and encouraging him. And he's just a great guy. We're talking. And I said, well, I need to probably get going about 90 minutes into it. He said, I have one more thing to talk about. Then he just started. He's a very awesome, dignified man. He started crying. And he said, we're not going to be able to afford our electric bill this summer at the church. Is there any way you'd be interested in joining our campuses? I had, you know, a couple thousand people over at 19th Avenue. And the night before, I'd had a dream about Peter fishing. Peter's boat so full, he called for James and John. And I wondered what the dream meant. They partnered together. And as soon as he said that, I remembered my dream. And I said, yes, we're supposed to work together. 6 weeks later, we had our first service here. I think 63 people from Valley Cathedral joined us. Many of them still part of our church. And God did a miracle. Listen, I almost missed it by not listening to what God was saying to me about a divine appointment. You with me? Some of your biggest breakthroughs come in the smallest acts of obedience. I'm going to have lunch and bless that pastor. Next thing you know, this campus given to us for debt-free. We were able to give another church. We sold our other property at a discounted rate. A great church is there now on 18th Avenue. A win-win. They're doing good. We're doing good. God's so good, okay? All that to say, God knows how to connect you to who you need to enter in your next season. Okay. Last 2 points. I'll be done in just a couple minutes. So God hammers him, and Peter's first sentence is, God shows no partiality. This is from a guy who just 24 hours before was prejudiced. Them filthy Gentiles. We're better than them. They eat pig. Come on, all you bacon lovers. You should be so grateful that we're engrafted. Bacon. So Peter gets it, but God had to hammer him free from imperfect doctrine. Man, oh man, like Dr. McCray said, we make small stuff big all the time. We're going to have a water baptism in just 30 minutes. And we baptize here in the name of the Father, Son, the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Why? Because there's a whole division in the church about whether to baptize in the Father, Son, the Spirit, or in Jesus' name. So I do them both to shut everybody up. I mean, to satisfy everybody's needs. Did I say that publicly? Whoops, I shouldn't have said it. So it's we major in minors. God help us. And if we're not careful when it comes to, I remember Dr. McCray, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the 60s, and on the charismatic renewal, and Catholics started talking in tongues. I grew up in Pentecostalism, where it was commonly taught in the Assembly of God, in Foursquare, in Church of God, in Pentecostal world, that the Catholic Church was the great whore. I'm not cussing, it's the book of Revelation. And that the Pope was the Antichrist. And so, next thing we know, there's millions of Catholics talking in tongues. And it's blowing the minds. And they say, how can you pray to Mary and talk in tongues? It blew their mind. And if we're not, and the Pentecostal church, for the most part, missed out in the charismatic renewal because they were still prejudiced. Well, I don't believe Catholics can go to heaven. I don't believe this. And so that's religious racism. Well, I don't believe those Lutherans. I don't believe the blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter what you believe. What does the Bible say? What does God say? And if we're not careful, we get stuck in an immature. See, I've been in ministry 40 years. My beliefs have grown. My biblical knowledge has grown. My theology has grown. If you're not growing, you're stuck. You with me? Okay, let me get to the second part of it. So it wasn't just religious racism. It was ethnic racism. Whenever racism begins, when one race thinks it's better than the others. We all bleed the same red blood. We all came from the same dysfunctional family. Whatever your color is, it's not the most important thing in your life. Your heart to God is. So we have to get this because the church is still too segregated on Sunday because we say we're not racist, but we behave like we are. So we have to be careful. So all the time people they search the whole world and they find one example of someone from a different race behaving badly. They post, look at all black people are like this, all white people are like this, all Hispanic people are like this, all Asian people, I don't know what they're like. So, I mean, they find some obscure and they say, look what they're all like. I got news for you. When you post stuff like that, you're prejudiced. And God wants to deal with you to be a part of the solution, not the problem. Come on, the church should be the place where healing begins. So part of the solution is have some friends that look different than you. What do you mean, Pastor? Different color, different skin. You with me? If you're black, don't have that. You know, invite a couple of pale people into your world. If you're white, be intentional. Have some, you know, we have 100 nationalities here. It's not hard to find somebody. And just because it broadens your understanding of people's story. I'm just saying that. So Peter, it took 3 times for God to break him free from prejudice. Why? God can't, as long as you have a limited view of people, you'll always have a limited destiny in God. Last thing, Peter's preaching, and Jesus died on the cross, and the third day he rose from the dead. And what we believe about that is this, they all start talking in tongues while he's speaking. He said, I haven't got to that part yet. And he's astonished how quickly God moved. God can catch you up in one moment. So, here's the scripture, Amos 9:13, Message Bible. Okay, here's I love this verse, man. It's going to prophetically speak to someone today. It won't be long now. Turn to someone and say, it won't be long. Okay, God's saying acceleration is here for God's people. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other, you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right again for my people. Come on, stand to your feet and give God a shout of praise. Come on. Prayer team, join me down front. Lift up your hands if you wouldn't mind, if you're free doing that. I declare in Jesus' name that God's awakening kings, queens, people of influence on your behalf. I declare that God's setting up divine appointments on your schedule in order to release something that's in his heart for your life. I declare that the desires of your heart, those spiritual longings that God has placed there to be way makers, to be confirming agents of God's will, that you're in a season where God's sending the people you need to fulfill that desire. That God's connecting you with the right people at the right time. I declare that God's freeing all of us up from biased thinking about any people group, any religious group, any age group. Half of our church is under 40. We have a multi-generational church, really hard to do, really rare. It's a Jesus thing. Hundred nationalities. So we're proving that God can put people together when they are more hungry for God than they care about other kinds of stupid things, unessential things, or even hurtful things. It's your time. Everybody say, it's my time. Get your tennis shoes on. I should have worn my tennis today, because your season of acceleration is here. You with me? I was invited to a conference 5 years ago. My friend Betty Perez invited me. And I was excited because I wasn't being invited anywhere. And in my 30s, I traveled the world. In my 40s, I traveled Phoenix. And I just refuse to promote myself. If God can't do it, I don't want to do it. I'm just the world's worst self-promoter. So at a Betty's conference, I pick out a guy, I prophesied to him. I didn't know who he was, a bald guy. Well, his name was Russell Evans, Planet Shakers guy. Blah, 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 prophesied to him. Ashley Evans, his brother. Blah, 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 blah. Next thing I know, I'm in New Zealand. Next thing I know, I'm Australia. Next thing I know, my phone's ringing. Blah, 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 blah. One guy, Benny Perez, invited me to his church. One guy, one divine appointment, and my whole world opened up. Now I have way too many, I have more invitations than I have time. I'm here 3 Sundays a month, at least. That's my goal for the year. To only miss 1 Sunday a month, okay? I'm turning down lots of opportunities or scheduling them for years to come because I'm still, this is my priority. But listen to me, you're just one person away. And so, look, 5 years ago, I'm like, Lord, how come I don't travel much anymore? Next thing I'm going, Lord, I'm kind of traveling a lot. With me, I've been in 12 cities already this year. I've been in 25 airplane flights this year already. That's running. That's accelerating. That's God making up for lost time. God snaps his fingers and he makes up for whatever God accelerates. So I don't consider my age in my activity, because God has graced me to do this at my age. So I never bring age into it, because I know it's God's will. Stop telling God what he can't do because your age. Amen. Come on, ladies. Oh, I'm a pastor. I'm 38 and unmarried. So what? It's better to be single than be with the wrong person. You keep worshiping God, you keep praying, you keep giving, and you're going to bump into Mr. Right. Mr. Right's worth the wait. Mr. Right now is not, okay? Whatever it is, okay? I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you, God can do it. There's my proof right there, the beautiful blonde woman. I'm deeply in love with Mary Catherine Maiden. I love her more today than I ever have. She's proof to me that God can give you the desires of your heart. She's proof to me that God can bring you a Catholic and a hippie church. I'm not picking on Catholics or hippies. I need to close the service, and we're having service tonight. By the way, Pastor Joey and Judy, our prophetic school, our school will be leading tonight. Going to be awesome. Lots of ministry, healing, prophecies happening tonight. I'm doing Wednesday nights and next Sunday, so it's going to be a great week.